The earthquake that struck northern India late last month killed at least 18,000 people and left hundreds of thousands homeless. International relief organizations are working to bring shelter, food, and medical care to the ravaged area. But in some instances, the relief efforts have been hindered by deeply rooted religious practices in Indian society. Commentator Ellis Coase visited the province of Gujarat just a few days before the earthquake hit. From his experience, he's not surprised that some people are suffering more than others.
While traveling in India, I heard one story after another about the humiliation of Dalits, stories that made America's Jim Crow system seem almost benign by comparison. Hinduism relegates Dalits, also known as untouchables, to the lowest plane of human existence. And though caste discrimination is prohibited in the Indian Constitution, many Dalits, particularly those in rural areas, say they are still treated like dirt. Martin McWan, spokesperson for the National Campaign for Dalit Rights, is one of a new generation of Dalit leaders fighting to change that. Over tea in a small office in the industrial city of Ahmedabad, McWan told about an upper caste woman who came to him for help. A close relative was in jail, and she had no money for bail. McWan listened impassively and then instructed one of his employees to give the woman a glass of water. She took the glass and realized it was water from an untouchable family, he recalled. She held the glass trembling. His body language said, "You drink this, then I'll help you." Finally, she took a sip. McWan has since made the water ritual a symbolic litmus test for others. That lesson was also impressed on me in a small village called Kalawako, an hour's drive outside of Hyderabad, the capital and commercial center of the state of Andhra Pradesh. Local farmers till rice, cotton, and corn, barely subsisting in a poverty so punishing that it makes American ghettos look opulent. At one point, an emaciated man, a Dalit, fell prostrate before me. After pulling the man to his feet, my companion translator and I followed him into his one-room brick-and-mud home, where he lived with his wife and four children. Speaking in Telugu, the man haltingly explained that some months earlier, his 20-year-old son had gone to work and never returned. His son, he discovered, had died from the ingestion of pesticide, he was told. But he quickly learned from the accounts of his younger son and neighbors that the truth was quite different. The boy had been beaten to death for questioning an order from his higher caste boss. Despite their huge numbers, and there are an estimated 170 million Dalits in India, not counting millions who have become Christians or Muslims, they have not attracted international sympathy for their plight. Paul Devakar, a prominent Dalit leader, says the Dalit struggle has not captured the world's imagination simply because it is not as obvious, not as black and white, as was the case with apartheid in South Africa. Others spoke of the inherent difficulties in mobilizing against practices that are already prohibited by the law and by the Indian Constitution. My experiences in India invariably took me back to the United States. I would reflect on the fact that intractable as prejudice sometimes seems in America, at least here, it isn't rooted in religion. At least in taking on bigotry, we are not taking on God. Indeed, just the opposite. Among many Dalit intellectuals, I found a fascination with the American Civil Rights Movement, and I found myself wondering what Martin Luther King Jr. would make of India today, a country he visited to study nonviolence, a country that stood up to Jim Crow and apartheid, but has yet to defeat the intolerance in itself.
Ellis Coase is a contributing editor at Newsweek. He's the author of Rage of a Privileged Class.